Thank you, Lord, for being so good to me. When I was alone, you took me in your sweet family and gave me the hope that I could live eternally. Now with all my heart, thank you, Lord. Yes, with all my heart and with all my soul, thank you for Calvary. It's treasure untold. Thank you for heaven fair, that place you prepared me there. Now with all my heart, thank you, Lord. Life is full of snares, trials seem so hard to bear. It's them that I reach for, that hand I know is always there. And finding he still cares, I bow my head and say this simple prayer. Now with all my heart, thank you, Lord. Yes, with all my heart and with all my soul, thank you for Calvary. Treasure untold, thank you for heaven fair, that place you prepared me there. Now with all my heart, thank you, Lord. Life is full of snares, trials seem so hard to bear. It's them that I reach for, that hand I know is always there. And finding he still cares, I bow my head and say this simple prayer. Now with all my heart, thank you, Lord. Yes, with all my heart and with all my soul, thank you for Calvary. It's treasure untold. Thank you for heaven fair, that place you prepared me there. Now with all my heart, thank you, Lord. The day of redemption is near. Men's hearts are failing for fear. Be filled with the Spirit, your lamp trembling clear. Look up, your redemption is near. Nations are breaking, Israel's awaking. The signs that the prophets foretold. The Gentile they number with horrors and comfort. Eternity's ruin will unfold. The day of redemption is near. Men's hearts are failing for fear. Be filled with the Spirit, your lamps trembling clear. Look up, your redemption is near. The victory is growing, Jerusalem's restoring. Her national I've long dethroned. Today she is calling, her letter rains falling. Return, O dispersed, to your own. The day of redemption is near. Men's hearts are failing for fear. Be filled with the Spirit, your lamps trembling clear. Look up, your redemption is near. Heaven's powers are shaking, and many are mistaking the meaning to be off the sky. God's church is the power that shaking desire. The day of redemption is nigh. The day of redemption is near. Men's hearts are failing for fear. Be filled with the Spirit, your lamps trembling clear. Look up, your redemption is near. False false prophets are lying. God's truth dare deny that Jesus the Christ is our God. Though this generation spurns God's revelation, we'll walk where the apostles have trod. The day of redemption is near. Men's hearts are failing for fear. Be filled with the Spirit, your lamps trimmed and clear. Look up, your redemption is near. False prophets are lying, God's truth they're denying, that Jesus the Christ is our God. Though this generation burns God's revelation, we'll walk where the apostles have trod. The day of redemption is near. Men's hearts are failing for fear. Be filled with the Spirit, your lamps trimmed and clear. Look up, your redemption is near. The Gentile day is numbered. The Gentile days is over.
Mm-hmm.
It's now the week of Daniel. Here. Number zero happened.
That's right.
And we did something when the Gentile age was on. Mm-hmm. We did something about our salvation, you and I did. We found a prophet. We got baptized in Jesus' name. We did everything that we possibly know to do while there was still time to do it. Now, it's all over now. The only thing that you can do, I know there's a lot of people that didn't prepare themselves, eh?
Mm-hmm.
And now all that's open for them is God's grace and rich and mercy. He's just given them an extra drought. All they got to do, they got to come and accept the truth for your day, like the invitation of Mary Shepherd of the Lamb. Just look at the grace of God, you know. People slept and slumbered, and when the Lord called on us, like he called on me, he said, same, I'm coming soon, back in the early 90s, late 80s. And then he told me to seek the Lord while he may be found. It was still time back then to seek the Lord. Now you can go seek all you want. You're not going to find him. Because the day is over. It was back in the 90s when he told me, seek the Lord while he may be found. I didn't know the Lord on a personal level. I know that. All I know was that outright garbage. And they told me that's the way to have it. Well, when the Lord speaks to you, you know, you got to do something about it. He told me, seek the Lord. Here I've been working in that Hutterite club forever and a day and didn't know the Lord, if you know what I'm trying to say. You can live in that commune and then not know the Lord. That's why the Lord told him, seek the Lord while he may be found. He was still to be found. And he was not to be found at that Hutterite cult. It's just that simple. And the reason I know, the reason I'm saying the things about them, because I gave them a truth, and they wouldn't accept it.
Mm-hmm.
See, that's how you test them. Brother Brennan used to say, give them the word test. Test them with the word. And then you test them by telling them the truth. Something you know is the truth. I know that God sent the prophet. We know that. A lot of the people in the world know that. And when you reject the truth, then that tells me you're not of God. That's why I keep saying, you're none of God. If you're none of God, you're of the devil. There's only two spirits out here, and we keep telling people the truth. And if they can't accept the truth, then there's only one problem: they're none of God. It's just that simple. And now here we're telling people the truth. We're telling them everything they need to know here in these closing days of time. We're telling that we're in the week of Daniel. We're telling them, and in 2028, it's all over. But the crying, the devil is done. Then. He's going off to hell. His 6,000 days are over, and he's not going to go one day past. We've been waiting for that day forever. And the Bible says, rejoice, O heaven, and rejoice, O earth, and you holy apostles and prophets, because Satan's days are numbered. Babylon is falling. So you and I, everything is so mapped out and so simple that you wonder how come people don't get it. Well, they're not of God. That's why they don't get it. And when we talk so plain, oh, man, it's just something they don't want to hear. But mm-hmm. That's how you tell people. You tell them the truth, and if there's something in that person, and accept truth, and he'll embrace you for it. But see, if people don't want the truth, so they, after a while, they start hating you for telling them the truth.
Mm-hmm.
It's just, well, I heard truth, I tell you. I'd walked to the ends of the earth to find truth.
Yeah.
That's what I did. Uh-huh. Went all the way to Vancouver.
It's the truth that sets you free. Like, who doesn't want to be set free? Living in a lie is a prison, and then the truth comes and sets you free, and if you accept it, you can be set free. But a lot of people, they choose to rather stay locked in a prison instead of accepting the truth.
The Gentile days are over. The Gentile days are numbered.
Yeah, it can't go on. It just has just a numbered time frame, and that's 2,000 years for the Gentiles. The Gentiles were grafted into that other branch, and then when that time period is over, God goes back to the Jewish people, and then people don't understand that concept. A lot of people, they think that this is the way it's gonna be now, like for the Gentiles. It isn't. People don't realize that God called out Abraham, and he started the nation through Israel. And then when Israel rejected Jesus, there were 2 days given to the Gentiles, 2,000 years. And you can read it in Hosea, after 2 days he will revive us. And the week of Daniel is just part of the 70th week of Daniel. It's 7 years that are still left to the Jewish people, because they started counting when Nehemiah went out to rebuild the walls around Jerusalem. And then when Jesus was crucified, 33, it was cut off at the 69th week, and that means there's 7 years left. And between those was 2,000 years, and now here is that week of Daniel, those 7 years, where God is going to revive the Jewish people, and then in the millennium, in that third day, God is going to, it says, we shall live in his sight. And then God is going to, like, Israel will have their land, and they're going to dwell there. And then you can read it in Ezekiel. They'll have that temple, they'll have offerings of sacrifices, and then the nations all around the world will come up to Jerusalem once a year to pay tribute to the King of Kings and Lord of Lords, to the Lord Jesus Christ. And it's just a program that God has.
Yeah, we just happen to tap into it because mm-hmm. we thought the Lord really was to be found. We take the Lord serious. We don't play games here.
Mm-hmm.
And people want to play games, that's up to them. But see, you and I, we take it very serious. The Lord speaks to us, and then we go ahead and do it. He told us to get up in the morning. He told us to sing these songs. I don't know if I could exist without singing these songs.
Mm-hmm.
Everything the Lord does, he does it for our benefit. He wants us to make it more than we even want to make it. So he told me to get up earlier and start the day with prayer. And if everybody around the world would do that, then we wouldn't have all these wars and all that stuff. But see, we did it. And then we found out God sent a prophet and all that stuff. To you and I, it's a heavenly journey. Mm-hmm. Of course, you got your enemies and all that stuff, and you got the devil on your case 24/7. But see, if you're alert, if you're wide awake, then you can live above all that, because every generation has been given a responsibility. I got to do my part, and so that your children will have a blessed hope.
Mm-hmm.
But once I found out about the prophet, I just told everybody. That's the way to go. And even though nobody believes you, it's still something that I have to do for myself and for my and for my downline. And that's what everybody has to do. Reagan used to say, every generation has a responsibility to stand for truth. That's what we're doing. We're doing something for our generation, and if people want it, fine. If they don't want it, well, so be it. To you and I, it's not a strange thing. Ver Jesus samkreuz, sing laub, banner blick, Wer hat selber wer begestohn, drum leg nur auf ihn in der Vater geschickt, der einst auch für die Wahl verwohnt. Wer Jesus am Kreuz sehen glauben erblickt, wer heil zu der selbige Stuhl. O, hat nicht ein Jesus getragen die Schuld, gebürstet am Kreuz auch für dich. O, floss nicht sein Blut voller Barmen der Huld, zur Erlösung für dich und für mich. Wer Jesus am Kreuz sehen glauben erblickt, wer heilt zu der selbige Stund. Dein Weinen und deine Gebet sind es nicht, wodurch du mit Gott wirst versehen. Das Blut deines Heilands befreit von Gericht, ist der mit Gnade dich kränkt. Wer Jesus am Kreuz sehen glauben erblickt, wer heilt zu der Seele, wie o zweifle nicht länger, o glaube es gewiss, du hast nun sonst nichts mehr zu tun. Dein Jesus ertrat auch für dich in den Ritt, in ihm kannst du selig ruhen. Wer Jesus am Kreuz sehen glaube, erblickt, wer heilt zu der selbigen Stund. It's all about Jesus. Everything has to stop for Jesus. If I be lifted up, I'll draw all men to me. That's all we're interested in. Lifting up Jesus. Mm-hmm. And not lifting up ourselves, that's for sure. Because there's nothing in us that has any value. Mm-hmm. Rotten to the core. How can a human being produce anything good?
Yeah.
All you can come up is religion. It's a filthy rag.
Right.
That's why we're waiting on the Lord. We want to know from the Lord what He wants us to say and speak on. Mine eyes have seen the glory of the coming of the Lord. He is trampling out the vintage where the grapes of wrath are stored. He has loosed his faithful line of his terrible swift sword. His truth is marching on. Glory, glory, hallelujah. Glory, glory, hallelujah. Glory,
glory, hallelujah. His
truth is marching on. Glory, glory, hallelujah. Glory, glory, hallelujah. Glory, glory, hallelujah. His truth is marching on. When the fullness of time came, his fruit is marching on. The fullness of time came, God sent that angel. The truth was marching on. You know mm-hmm. what I'm saying? The truth marches on, and then if you don't march with it, you're going to have to suffer the consequences. And just the way it works. For you and I, everything is so simple. If you sold out to the Lord, then you don't have to be lost in the religion cobweb. It's all these are these religious churches, they're just religious cobwebs.
Mm-hmm.
You never find your way. They did, like I keep saying, the deception is such magnitude, and it's what it's really what they don't tell you. That's what makes it so confusing. That's oh,
right.
They'll preach their heart out. Oh, man, they'll bring tears to your eyes. They take bits and pieces of the gospel,
mm-hmm.
you know, and but they don't tell you the real thing. They don't tell you where you are in time because they don't even know it.
Mm-hmm.
How can they tell you something they don't even know?
Yeah. Like, are they going to tell people that God sent a prophet, you know? They're not going to tell people that. And it was all so that people could be aware of the day and hour they're living in and what God requires of this generation. Like for every generation, he has a requirement. Like you cannot take what God required for the days of Noah. That was over. And after the flood, that era was over. Here in the Gentile era, in the Laodicea church age, God sent a prophet. And then he came with a message. And in that message, there was a preparation to prepare yourself for the coming of the Lord.
And Jesus told us exactly in the book of Revelation what the church condition will be. We're not taking something strange.
That's
like
right.
Like we're bringing a strange gospel. And I'll read it to you, Revelation chapter 3, verse 14. To the angel of the church of Laodicea, write, following. This is a solemn pronouncement. This is the fact.
Mm-hmm.
It's just a matter of the fact. There's no wiggle worm here. This is the solemn pronouncement of the Amen, of the Lord Jesus Christ, the faithful and true witness, the originator of God's creation. You got to understand what this is mean. The beginning of the creation of God. Everything out there, everything you see and everything you hear, is created because of the Lord Jesus Christ.
Yeah.
Jesus Christ didn't create it. God created it, but he created it with Jesus Christ in mind. Everything was created for the Lord Jesus Christ. You and I were created. We were born in this world. When the Lord saved us because of the Lord Jesus Christ, so that once we came to our senses and get our heads screwed on to properly, then we'll come to the place where all we want to do is serve the Lord Jesus Christ.
Yeah, the place
that's all about Jesus.
That's why it's like redemption. God was looking at redemption.
The originator of God's creation. It's not that he was there. Like I say, everything was created with Jesus Christ in mind. That's why you and I, we have to pay homage to the Lord Jesus Christ because we were created because of him. And then he went on to say, talking to Laodicea, the hour we're now living in. This is not something strange. When we tell you these churches out there, they're not of God, they're of the devil. Oh, it really ruffles their feathers because the Satan has managed to brainwash the people. But here comes Jesus. I know your deeds, that you're neither cold nor hot. He knows what's going on. I wish you were either cold or hot. But because you are lukewarm and neither hot or cold, I'm going to vomit you out of my mouth. It just completely put them into non-existence.
Mm-hmm.
Because you say I am rich. Now here's the condition of the world church and the church age through the 20th century that we're living in. Because you say I am rich, look around you, look at the churches, and have acquired great wealth, and need nothing, but do not realize that you're wretched, pitiful, poor, blind, and naked.
Mm-hmm.
It's this condition. Now, why would you go somewhere where they're naked, they're blind, they're poor, they're pitiful, they're wretched, and they don't even know it? That's the condition of the church. Anything that is not interconnected to that prophetic prophecy, to that Brother Branham and Brother Jackson, behind it is the Spirit of the Living God, that angel was just taking their vocal cord to say what's going on in the church age of Laodicea. That's why you and I, we embrace it with a passion once we found it, because anything outside of that is not of God. That's the chapter and the channel that God is working through, Before he left this world, he said, this is going to be eternal life. He's going to send his seven angels. He's going to send to the seven church ages of the grace ages. Just that simple. And anything outside of that channel, believe you me, they will fit this pizzeria. They're wretched, they're blind, they're poor, they're naked. The only thing that Laodicea has is take my advice and buy gold from me, buy fire so you can become rich. Buy from me white clothing so you can be clothed. And your shameful nakedness do not expose. And buy eye salve to put on your eyes so you can see. All those I love and rebuke and discipline. So be earnest and repent. That's what you and I did. We found out that what God was doing in the 20th century, in the hour we're living in. And when we found it, we were looking and we were searching. We went to these Pentecostals and to all these churches. But we still were empty inside. We didn't find it until we came to the ministry of Brother Branham and Brother Jackson. All those I love, I rebuke and discipline. So be earnest and repent. Listen, I am standing at the door and knocking. If anyone hears my voice, opens the door, I will come into his home and share a meal with him and he with me. I will grant the one who conquers permission to sit with me on my throne, just as I too conquered and sat down with my Father on his throne. The one who has an ear had better hear what the Spirit says to the churches. Anything outside of these seven angels, it's saying it's going to take you out to hell and that because you're not on that channel. If you're outside of that channel, believe you me, the devil is going to find you, and he's got a lot of thugs out there. When we call these preachers thugs, and just the reason I call them thugs because I found out they were not true. Like it says in the second church, you have tried those that say they are apostles and found them to be liars. That letter from Daniel is a flat-out liar. He's not even almost barely a human being. He was no good, and his dad was no good. His dad died. With a court case hanging over his head. And they get up and they think they're these holy people. They're nothing but deceivers. There's nothing there. I wish I wouldn't have to talk like that, but that's exactly the fact of the matter. That's the way it is. When I presented them with the truth, I remember back in the day, the Lord, I was driving down the road, the Lord told me, I'm going to set it up that you're going to have to go and witness to them and sit in their council. The Lord set it up, and here I was in their council in the kangaroo court, whatever you want to call it, and I presented them with the truth. I told them about God sending a prophet. I told them their baptism was of the devil and all that stuff. Oh, I still got the letter that I wrote them, and they wanted me to recant it. Well, I refused to recant. And to this day, they want me to apologize to them for telling them the truth. Mm-hmm. Well, you don't apologize for telling them the truth, because the minute you go and apologize for telling them the truth, that makes truth ineffective. That kills the truth. Mm-hmm. Imagine me going back there, oh, I'm sorry, I told you guys the truth. And then they let me back in that club again.
That's right.
But I would rather die a thousand deaths than tell them that then go and apologize to them for telling them the truth. And my wife, she was part of their clan. And she once taught, right to the day she died, she taught for sure, I'm going to apologize. Apologize for what? For telling your people, for telling them the truth? When the minute you tell, you apologize for telling the truth, that makes the truth that you told them ineffective. And that's just the nature of the beast.
That's right.
Heavenly Father, we want to come into your presence, Lord. Give you thanks for this another day of life, for the many things you do with us, Lord. And most of all, Lord, that you open up your word to us, Lord, that you didn't stop with us and you just continued to deal with us. You gave us that scripture, behold, I'm coming soon. And then you told me to seek the Lord while he may be found. And then you put me on this journey, and then you brought me to the ministry after the hour, the ministry of Brother Branham, and then Brother Jackson. Now here we are, Lord, closing it out. We know we have very little time left, and those that want to come on board, good for them. If not, well, they're just going to have to suffer the consequences, Lord. And we're just trying our level best, Lord. That's why we stand before you, Lord, asking for advice and input and information, everything that we say and do. Lord, we want to be able to, that you will be able to guide us with that of your eyes, Lord. We have nothing else. We have nothing on our own. The only thing we can do is stand before you, and Lord, blessed are the poor in spirit, for they shall see God, and that's all we are. We don't have a sermon to go by. We don't have a bunch of books that we go by. We just simply, Lord, want to be directed by that of your eyes, Lord. That's all we live for, to bring glory to your name. Use us for your own glory. Use us here in these closing days of time to do only that which you want us to do. And we pray, Lord, you give that increase. In Jesus Christ's name we pray. Amen.
Amen.
Well, that's the condition that the church world is in there. And I know a lot of people are offended that we speak so plain, because we have no other way to speak. We can't go out there tickling people's ears and saying things that they want to hear. It's just not in our makeup. We have to do exactly what Paul said. If I please men, I cannot be a servant of Christ. And that's all we're interested in, because we found out that everything was created because of Jesus Christ. And we have no problem with lifting up Jesus, because if I be lifted up, I'll draw all men to me, he said. And if we lift ourselves up, believe you me, you're doomed before you even start. That's the problem with people. They want to be this big guy in the block, like I said yesterday. They want to become a preacher. They want to become a preacher. They want to become an altar, a pope. But that's the only thing that Hutterite system can produce. It can only produce another Hutterite. And then if anybody has any ambition, like he wants the highest job in this, he wants to be up at the podium, that's just a natural. That's just a natural man. That's just, he inherited from Nimrod, you know. That's just part of the nature. That's the nature of the beast. That's all we are. Without the Spirit of the Lord, that's all we become. The Bible says so. When the man should develop this better than Phoebe-like. When a man has no fear of God, becomes like an animal. And that's what most of these preachers become. They evolve into an animal. They don't like to show it. And they want you not to rock the boat too much, so that true nature doesn't come out. That's what my dad had sitting against me. He said, "We're putting you in house because you challenge us. You had no business challenging us. And if you don't challenge them, then you never know what you're about." See, what I did was challenge them, and then their true nature has to come out. What was their true nature? Go at your house and take your family and your children away from you. That's what happens when you challenge them. And that's all we did. Mm-hmm. We just challenged them, and pretty soon, like the prophet says, when you step on that egg, an otter comes coming out. There's a certain egg. Out of that egg comes an otter. That's what happened. I stepped on that egg, and woo! I tell you, they'll stop at nothing. But if I wouldn't have done that, if I wouldn't have challenged them, they could still go down the road of life pretending they're holy people. Mm-hmm. That's what Jesus did. When he was here, he started challenging the scribes and the Pharisees. And he started very slow. He started, "Unless your righteousness exceeds that of the scribes and the Pharisees, then you can in no wise enter in." And the disciples, they were so deceived by these religious zealots. Oh, man, who can be saved then? Their brain was just like people are today. They think these preachers are rich. I got a number on them things. Because all we're doing, we're exposing the unfruitful works of darkness, mm-hmm. even in these closing days of time. It's just that simple.
That's right. And when you look at all the apostles, they were all martyred. Why were they martyred? Because they were telling people the truth. They were not telling them lies and these things. They were martyred because they stood up against the lies of the devil. And that's the only reason they were martyred, because they were doing the will of God, just like Paul. He said, "If I yet please men, I cannot be a servant of Christ." If we start to please men, then our life becomes ineffective. If we start compromising, then our life becomes ineffective. God can no longer use us, just like that salt. If the salt has lost its savor, then it can no, it has no purpose, and you just might as well throw it out, and it gets trodden over, trodden over when people walk by. And that's how useless it is when you don't tell people the truth. It's salt that has no savor, that has no flavor and nothing. It doesn't do anything. And we don't want to be that. We want to be just like Paul. In the end of his days, he said, I was not disobedient to that heavenly vision. Then that's why he was able to say, I have fought a good fight. And he said, I have finished my course and I've kept the faith. Henceforth, there is laid up for me a crown of righteousness, which the Lord, a righteous judge, shall give me at that day. And not to me only, but unto all them also that love his appearing. And that's why we do what we're doing. We don't do it just because we have something against these people. We don't. We want these people to come to the understanding of what the devil is up to, how he uses systems of religion to deceive people. And people at the end of their days, when they look back and life, they realize they've just their life is empty. They have not done anything for the Lord Jesus Christ. And that is such a sad picture when you just analyze it, living through your life, and at the end of the day your life has no meaning. Just like it says in Wisdom, like that bird that flies through the sky, and the minute he flies, you don't even see that he was there. Mm-hmm. And that ship that goes in and sails in the sea, at first you see a little path where he's gone, where the water parts. But when it goes in the distance, that water comes together, and like a vapor, that's the life of people that have not done anything for Jesus, you know, that they have lived their life and not done anything, just be man pleasers. Mm-hmm. Man pleasers, that is not going to get you anywhere. It's doing the will of God. When you stand up for truth and what God has done in this day and hour, you know, I found a lot of people, they can accept Jesus when you talk about Jesus. But the minute you start saying that God sent a prophet, that's when people get very uncomfortable. And that what separates a lot of people. And it's amazing to see how fast people get separated when you mention that God sent a prophet, that God sent that spiritual that spirit of Elijah anointing in the Laodicea church hour to fulfill the scriptures of restoring what was lost in the coming, going into the dark ages, what Satan has been up to. And at the minute you start exposing that, then people, they don't want to have anything to do with you. And it's just a marvel to see how little people want to be identified with the truth.
Mm-hmm. Amen to that. And we're just telling people the truth, like I said earlier. When you tell them the truth, it's a word test. Tell the people the truth, and then we'll decide what they're going to do. I presented them with the truth, and guess what? You got till sundown to get out of here. If you're not out of here by sundown, the sheriff will come and pick you up. Well, they're doing the very same thing that they did to Jesus. The Jews and the Pharisees and these religious leaders, they hired a Roman army to get rid of Jesus. Mm-hmm. Behind it was still these zealots. It's the same thing. You got them in the pulpits today. That Blumengar Jake, he was just a first-class zealot. And I tell you what, we're right. Telling people just exactly the system that we've been under.
Mm-hmm.
And it's kind of sad to say, but these people, they haven't sought the Lord when the time was to seek the Lord. Like you and I did, we sought the Lord, and we didn't stop until we found it, until we had that peace in our heart. This is it for the church age of Laodicea. God sent a prophet. That's been our song and dance, mm-hmm. and that's the only song and dance that we're interested to have. And anything outside of that chapter, anything outside of that channel is nothing but agents of Satan. It's just mm-hmm. that simple. I know we speak wrong. I know when we tell these people that that hundred right thing is of the devil because it's not of God. I tested it. Test it with the word. Test it with truth. If it was of God, they would have embraced the truth because all I did was tell them the truth back in the day. And at the end of the day, you got this sun down to get out of here. Yeah. That's how you can test. That now I can sit back and say, it's not of God. It's of the devil. Because if it would have been of God, they would have done it. They would have accepted it like that.
Yeah.
That, like that, that boss from Forest River Colony, when he died and he had an out of the body experience, and then reality set in, and guess what? He came back and told them, it fell on deaf ears. They couldn't shut him out fast enough. Not one person that he went from colony to colony. It's like the devil couldn't shut it down fast enough. Mm-hmm. Just like, and then, I'm the only one that really heard it, that did anything about it. I put my life on the line and I went looking for it. And then when we tell them that, they think we're the crazy ones. But I went down to see his boys, like I said the other day, and told him, man, I found something. I found exactly what your dad would have found if he was willing to put his life on the line, the things he warned us about. He said to my dad, there's something out there somewhere. If we're just going to put our life and go looking for it, then we'll find it. And he died. He never even found it. But he left it of advice back that at least we went and looking for it, and mm-hmm. we found it. And then, like I say, when I went back, I told them about it. They didn't want to hear about it. They didn't want to talk about it. But see, that's just the nature to be behind it. It's the spirit of Satan. When God does something, he's right there. If he can't mess it up, if he can't pervert it, he'll try to make it irrelevant. That's exactly what happened in this other I call it. The man comes back from the dead and he tells them that system is nothing but first-class deception. What do? They can't shut it up fast enough. Well, I was, once I found it, I did the same thing. I went back and told them that what I found, and guess what? Like I say, you got till sundown to get out of here. That's what they use. They use your family to try to break you, to turn your family against you, to try to break you, to make you, try to make you compromise with their garbage. Try to make you break you so you go back and apologize for telling them the truth. Well, it never did happen. And then I thank the Lord about three times a day for taking my wife out of their clutches. At least she's out of their clutches. They can't use her anymore. She was walking in constant fear. She knew that I was right. But she knew if she supports me, then they'll treat her like they treat me. They'll put her in the outs. And they won't have a funeral for her or anything like that. She was walking in constant fear. The Lord reached down, took her out of their clutches and their diabolical system. They just used her, tried to break me, you know. They're using my children, trying to break me, see if they can't break me. Well, we made up our mind, you know. The Bible says, no man having left father, mother, wife, children, he's going to gain it back again here in time. And what the Lord did, and he gave me a sister that's second to none, and then he brings you and I together, and we're in the same boat. And then he promised us life eternal, because we stood up for the Lord Jesus Christ, we stood up for truth, and we have a glorious future. We have eternal life before us, according to the scripture. Not according to what I think. It's according to the scripture, because you can trust the scripture. No man have you left father, mother, wife, children, home, for my sake and the gospel. Because all we did, we presented them with the gospel. He is going to get it back again, here in time. Lands, houses, sisters, brothers, families. If you leave it for his sake and the God, you're going to get it back again. And then you're going to gain eternal life because of that. That's the hope that you and I have. And we're not stopping. We just pedal to the metal because in it, we got to stay salty. You're not going to stay, if you went to God, you're either hot or cold. We're not being lukewarm. We're telling it the way it is, and we're firing on all cylinders.
Yeah, that's why Jesus is outside a church door. It's because of that lukewarm condition that the church world is in. That they preach love, but they really don't have no love. Because it says the love of many will wax cold. The love that they present in the church world today is not love. It is deception. That's what it is. It's that charismatic love that they really, it's not really a love of caring for people and wanting their best. It's just a shallow love that is dressed up in all fancy language of love. It's not love from the heart where you care for people. Like how much Jesus cared for the Jewish people, that he gave up his life for them. And they rejected him because he was telling them the truth. And that's all we're doing. That's why it says it's a form of righteousness what these people have. And a lot of people, they look like really godly people, but it's just a form of righteousness. They're denying the power thereof. They're denying the Lord Jesus Christ. In that religious environment, you have first and foremost have to serve that religion. It's not about serving the Lord Jesus Christ. And that's the difference. That's why Jesus is outside a church door, because their religion is more important than Jesus. They can talk about Jesus, but if Jesus would be here today, you wouldn't find him in this church world.
We would do exactly what we're doing. They just tell them the truth, and then they'd oust them. Then they'd crucify them. It's just the same old, same old. But to you and I, everything is so simple, and now we're living here in these closing days of time. They don't believe us when we tell them exactly where we're living. And because the only scripture they know, the Bible says no man knows the day and the hour. No man knows the day and the hour. Well, they don't know what that means. It means no man knows the day and the hour of the rapture. Mm-hmm. And we don't claim to know. But we do know the day when God will once again restore Israel. Because the disciple asked, will you at that time once again restore Israel? And Jesus more or less told him, it's not for you to know. Like back in the day, the wise shall understand. It's for certain people that'll be living at that time frame. I'm going to tell them, and I'm going to show them right to the day exactly where we're living in time. And God, Daniel, way back, he saw all these synonymous. He saw these visions and these dreams. He saw the end time rapidly approaching way back at his hour. Mm-hmm. And then he was very broken up and very troubled. And then that angel came and told him, Daniel, don't worry about it. You go to sleep with your lot, but at the end time, there's going to be a group of people. The wise shall understand. They'll understand exactly what you saw here, the 70th week of Daniel. And you and I, we right down to the day. You figured it out yourself, from, like you were saying earlier, from the day that the walls are to be built. You counted it, and you came to 33 A.D., 69 weeks culminated. That was the end of 69 weeks. And now that was cut off. And then there's 1 week left for the Jews. And then he put in the 2 days into the ministry of Brother Branham and Brother Jackson. We found out exactly where these two were. You don't go by calendar years. You go by biblical years. And we found out that the 2 days of Hosea are over. October the 15th, 2021, right down to the day, because Jesus said, it's not for you to know, it's for people to know that we're living in that time frame. We got it right down to the day. You're going to see it's going to happen exactly, because all of heaven is waiting. All of the holy apostles are waiting for that last day when the 6,000 years will have culminated and Satan will be no more. He's going to be down in hell, screaming his head off, and then his days are numbered, and he knows his days are numbered. That's why he's screaming, hollering. That's why he's got all these wars going on all over the world, because he's trying to stop God from fulfilling his word. And we're just telling people the truth here. It's going to happen exactly the way we said, because we got it from, God told, that angel told them, the wise shall understand. We're not talking about the rapture here now. We're talking about the beginning of the week of Daniel. And then once you know when the week of Daniel, anybody can count 7 years or 1,260 days and then 42 months. Anybody that's got a grade 3 education can do that. And then we got it right down to 2028, that's it. And it's all over but the cry. And then the devil's days are numbered, and you're going to see the Lord Jesus is going to set up his kingdom and all, and everything is going to happen according to the scriptures. We just happen to tap into it here in these closing days of time. Lord, rich in mercy, gave us that word, and he gave us the promise that he, like I said back at the day, seek the Lord while he may be found. I put everything on the line, and I went seeking the Lord. I lost it all just to seek the Lord while he may be found. And then I found out he sent the prophet, and all that we did because we had a turn. We one day we decided we were going to follow Jesus, and then he took us, and he took us at our word, and you decided when you were asked, Lynn, what are you going to do with your life? Are you going to get married? No, I'm going to see what Jesus has for me. And that's what we're doing, what we're doing, because we allow the Lord Jesus Christ to take our life and do with us as he wants.
Yeah.
Use us for your glory, because we have nothing.
Mm-hmm. Basically, we came to the end of ourselves.
Yeah.
You know, when you come to the end of yourself, then God can start going on the move, because then he can start using you. Because when a person is so full of themselves, then they interfere with the plan of God, and that just never works out. It's when you can yield yourself and be used of God, and that's where a lot of people they don't want to go that way, because it's usually in that is there's a lot of for the natural man, there's no glory in it. It's a lot of people start ridicule you and think you're crazy and insane. They think you're just like out to lunch a lot of times, and but they don't realize that you're being used by God. You allowed yourself to be a vessel of honor to God, and he can use you for his glory. And a lot of time it's a place that people don't want to, that natural man doesn't want to be identified with.
Just like that song says, if I could only repay what the Lord did for us at Calvary, I would gladly do it. And then we found out the only way you could repay him is, Lord, do with me as you see fit. Mm-hmm. If you're really grateful for salvation, and a lot of people don't even have salvation, but if you're grateful for what the Lord did for you at Calvary, you're gonna say, Lord, use us for your glory, because that's the only way you can say, really say thank you.
Mm-hmm.
Like I say,
yeah,
I'm grateful to the Lord every time I think that he took my wife out of her misery. You know, mm-hmm. She was all by herself. She had Alzheimer's. She had cancer. She had nothing to live for. And and the Lord took her out of their clutches. Now they can't use her anymore to try to break me. And that was their main thing. Use her to try to break me.
Mm-hmm. And like the song was saying this morning, mein Leben ist ein Pilgrimstand. When you go to the third verse, it really kind of spoke to me today. No journey is without adversity. The path of life also has its ups and downs. One does not walk on soft roses. The path is narrow, the enemies many, who divert me from the goal. I must often bump against thorns. I must walk through arid deserts and can see no way out myself. The sun's radiance often fails me. The sun that shines with the light of grace shines into unadulterated hearts. Wind and rain storms towards me. My dull spirit finds no rest, but all toil is already paid. If only I open the door of heaven in firm faith for. The translation kind of, and then it says, you know, you are a pilgrim in this world, you know, and you're not promised to walk on soft roses.
Mm-hmm.
And it says the enemies are many and the path is narrow, and that's the truth, you know. When you walk with the Lord Jesus Christ, all those that live godly in Christ Jesus will suffer persecution, and that's just part of the persecution that you're being faced with, having enemies at every end. But you know, just as I was thinking yesterday, you know, God sometimes puts you into that situation, just like he did the children of Israel when he brought them out of Egypt. Like Egypt was, the army of Egypt was behind them, and there was mountains on this side and on that side, and then there was the Red Sea on the on right ahead of them. So they were trapped into this little corner there. But God can perform miracles there in that corner if you just, you know, walk by faith.
Just have to trust and lean into that. So we just, we're just following the Lord, and we don't care what people say to or think. We don't care how many enemies we have, as long as we're in good standing with the Lord.
That's
all that we care about. We can kill us if you want. Shoot us if you want. It don't matter. It says, fear not them that kill the body, but fear them that has, once the body is killed, that has power to destroy both the body and soul and hell. We're just made up our mind one day we're following Jesus, and that's why we have to pay the price. That's why we put in the outs and the proofs and the pudding. And that's why we keep saying, these other rights is just another agents of Satan. It's just that simple. We had something else to say, we said, but we found out this is that. We tell people the truth.
Right, amen. Heavenly Father, we just want to come before you and we give you thanks for everything you've done in our lives, Lord. The journey that you have allowed us to walk on, Lord. And we just pray, Lord, that we'll be found faithful to the end, that we'll be steadfast, Lord, and not compromise with pressures around the world, Lord. But we just walk by faith and walk in a place that you're pleased with, Lord, and not what man desires, but what you desire for our lives, Lord. We just want to give you thanks. In Jesus' name we pray.
Amen.